Northeast Archives of Folklore and Oral History, accession number 1131, tape number 1131.2.
This is the interview with Mrs. Joanne Nivison, the follow-up interview, and today is December 11th, 1977. Okay, why don't we talk about Women's Lib? What's your views on Women's Lib? You can sit down, Jane. This isn't going to be taped.
On Women's Lib?
Mm-hmm.
I can't get too excited about it. There are some things that I agree with. You know, I think if a woman is doing the same job as a man, she should be paid as much as he is for the job. You know, as long as they're on the par as far as their abilities are concerned and their education, you know, is pretty much on the same level. I think in terms of teaching school, because that's where, you know, with a husband who teaches, that's what when I think of it. But I've never been a person who felt very oppressed at being a woman or a housewife and a mother. As a matter of fact, I think that a lot of women get the feeling that this job is very menial, you know, being a housewife and a mother. And I think that a lot of women now begin to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, I do this, and what's wrong with being a good housewife and a good mother? And why should somebody who, you know, goes out to work for a living feel superior or to me? And I think a lot of women today have had the feeling, particularly women of my age, that maybe they should have done something else, or maybe this is a wasted life. Well, I don't think it is. I think if you work and take your job seriously and raise a good family and try to teach them how to be good human beings, then you're a success. And I think some Women's Lib, in a sense, has worked against this theory of, you know, motherhood and womanhood, personally, that's what I think. And a lot of the things that they have done, I think, have been, you know, very good for women, but I think some of their ideas, too, particularly your more militant feminists, have hurt women more than, I think, helped them.
Why don't we go on to Vietnam? What do you think about the war? Do you think that was
You know, because I was raised in a time where, you know, you just thought the government infallible, and anything that they, you know, if they said, well, this was the thing to do, you just automatically, you know, felt it was the thing to do, and you did it more or less blindly. I think everybody's learned a little something from Vietnam. I think that I might have at first thought, well, this is what you were supposed to do when the government said you go and fight in this war, you know, thousands of miles away, and you know, just, well, that's what we're supposed to do. I think a lot of young people showed a lot of courage in deciding not to go and not to fight, that they felt that this was an unjust war. And I think that maybe they have made all of us take a second look at some of the things that perhaps we have done as a country, that maybe we are not always right. And I think I was brought up perhaps to believe that everything that we did, that God was always on our side, and maybe that isn't always true. And I think a lot of young people brought this home to most of us, that there were perhaps times and things that we did that we shouldn't have done. I've changed my mind about Vietnam. At first I thought, you know, the government said, you know, well, this is something we have to do. And I think in a sense, to be sure, the government of Vietnam needed perhaps our help. But I think we overstepped whatever help we should have given them, really, you know. So I kind of came around maybe to thinking that it might have, you know, whereas at first I thought, well, no, this is a just war. And then when we got into it, you know, we just simply couldn't get out of it. That's all it took, without doing what we did, you know, which was to just stop.
I was too young to really understand what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about draft evaders? Do you think they should have gotten the amnesty?
Well, I think that you know, it's too bad that there couldn't have been something else for them to do to serve whatever time the government felt that they had to serve. I have a brother, my oldest brother, who was drafted right out of high school at the age of 18 when he was in 1943, and he was in the Pacific for, 2 years, and months went by when my mother didn't know whether he was, you know, among the living or the dead. And it's really a frightening, frightening thing. And I don't know, if you really, and the hard thing would be to decide whether they truly did object to serving in Vietnam or whether they just did not want to serve in the armed forces. Certainly we do need armed forces. We do need to have, I believe we do anyway, that we need to have some military to protect this country. You know, anybody, I think that's something that we need. And whether they, you know, objected to serving in the military in any capacity or whether they just didn't want to go to Vietnam. And I think it's very difficult to decide which would be which, you know.
Mm.
It was a mess, just a plain mess of all this to us. And I'm glad it's over with. Because it was sad for everybody, you know.
I guess that's enough on the serious questions.
Mm-hmm.
My mother said you made over
$8,000? $8,400. I think that we have two tables that had not, to my knowledge, reported. One of them is the cargo shop in Waterville, and they always come in with religious articles. And they give us a percentage of what they make. And I last time I talked with Mrs. Breton, who handles the financial end of it, I don't know whether they had. And the Lions Club had a table. And what the Lions are a group, one of their, probably their biggest project is supporting the blind. And they buy things that are made by the blind, and they sell them at various places. And they asked us if they could have a table at the fair. They had asked the Tosca Fair last year, and Tosca refused to let them in. They came in, and they had the most beautiful
thing. Really?
Yes.
I was home that day, but I didn't get
a chance. You didn't get it. Oh, it was just
the
fantastic.
Parking lot was so crowded. I couldn't believe it.
Just, it was just...
My father brought cupcakes over at 9 o'clock, and he said there were a million people.
Oh, the people were supposed to start at 9, and they were in at 8:30. There were people coming in already.
Oh.
But the Lions table did extremely well. We don't know just exactly how much, because they take no profit. The Lions just pay what the blind, what they owe them, and then they give us the profit on the table. And they had great big, bags. I got genuine tote bags. I don't know if you've ever been to L.L. Bean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know the L.L. Bean tote bags.
Oh, yeah.
They're heavy, heavy canvas. And they had them, some that the blind made for, they have the big one like L.L. Bean had. And that was, we were selling for $7, I think, and L.L. Bean, they're like $12.
Wow.
And then they have a smaller, more narrow one that I bought for Jane, and that was selling for $4.50. So it really was a great, great success.
I guess my aunt made some homemade fudge.
Oh, yeah.
My mother helped her. I think she got to go, but I don't remember. Oh, yeah, she bought some food for me to bring back. Yeah. That's fine.
Just that table, that food table alone, that baked goods table, made over $1,000.
Really?
All by itself. So, you know, and it's just, this is just, and this Vi Vernia who heads it up, she just, you know, just loves it. And she has about 9 people who work for her all day long at the table, and they keep tabs that we go around.
Did you work there? Did you help out?
Did
the fair?
Did me? Did I? I was co-chairman of the fair. So I was handling, you know, I was on the floor. I did not have a table, but I handled a lot of the, I was making change and running errands and seeing if people had this and that. And then starting at 11 o'clock in the morning, we started picking up. We have what we do is we give everybody a bag, a bank bag with $10 worth of change in it. And then we pick up 3 times during the day. We pick up at 11, we pick up at about 3, and then when the fair closes, we pick up again. And we made one deposit in the middle of the afternoon for about $3,700.
Wow.
This was just the morning, you know. And then when we cashed up that night and finished rolling and doing everything, we had a nut between 3,000 and 4,000 again that
Wow.
we put in the bank. And we had, of course, had to sell raffle tickets in advance of the fair. So we had all that money in the bank already. So it really was fantastic. In fact, we called the police when the fair closed and everybody was leaving and we were there, left were about, maybe 4 or 5 of us, still in the building counting the money and rolling, because we had a great deal of coin, rolling everything and tabulating everything. We called the police to notify them that we were there and that we would need a police escort to take the money to the bank for the night deposit. So they were right around, and then they came in about 10 o'clock, and I was somewhat quiet alone that night.
Oh, gee. Who won the raffle?
Bill Horn won the fire chief,
mm-hmm.
won the fire chief. And a lady by the name of DeShane, whom I had never seen before the day of the fair, and she worked all day at the fair.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who had a table must have known her, and she came in and spent time selling and working at the fair, and she won the television, which really was super, because, you know, here she was working all day, and she won the television and walked out with it for her day's work. And the bond was won, the $50 bond was won by a man named Pierre Lapointe, an older man. And the $25 bond was won by somebody who lives in Gardner. And then a Mrs. Dougal won the food basket. And of course, there are probably 10 more raffles that other people, every table, most every table tries to have something to raffle off, like the ceramics had a little ceramic house.
Oh, I would have liked to have seen ceramics.
With a music box in it, just adorable. And then another table had dolls and doll clothes. And another table had a great big stuffed animal, huge stuffed animal. And the Christmas decorations had a terrarium lamp.
Ooh.
That they had gotten from Sunset Greenhouse. Just a $50 lamp that they were raffling off. It's just everybody had little things all over the place that they were raffling off. So it was great. We had a good time.
What's the Nelson House like during Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
What's the Nevison House like during Christmas? Do you go to midnight mass?
No, we don't. We go to mass at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Christmas Eve. Oh.
And we all go together. In fact, David is going to serve at 4:30. And we all go together. And then after that, Christmas is officially, here. And then we usually come home and have tuche pie at that time.
That's
and
famous.
That's
famous.
Yeah.
We have that too.
Do you really? I never had made it before, because even though I'm partially of French descent, my mother is French, my father wasn't. And in the northern part of the state, this is kind of funny, because they were from the New Brunswick side, my grandmother never made tuche pie. And my mother never knew how to make tuche pie. And we talked to people, you know, French Canadians who live here, who came from the from Quebec province, and it was always done there. Very funny. So I've had to learn from other people in town to finally learn. In fact, it was Karen and Collins Mitchell's mother who told me how to make. I had tried, 3 or 4 people told me what to do, and it never came out right, but she's the one who told me how to to make it successfully, and so I now make it. In fact, I'm going to have a Christmas party 22nd of this month for the teachers at junior high school, for some teachers at the high school that were there when my husband taught over there, and for various friends. And that's what I'm going to say, to say pie. And it's like, when I say, you know, all these people, it's funny because it's just, it's like a mob here. Every room is filled downstairs with people. Just 70 people here, you know. It's lots of fun. And the house is, you know, busy and exciting.
Are you going to set your tree up this week?
Probably, Jane's going to come home. She likes to be here when we do
it.
So we will set it where we have a fresh tree. We prefer not to set it up too early because, you know, I'm really very leery about fires and whatnot.
Mm.
So even though this house is never very hot, and that way in the front room it doesn't get too hot either, but nevertheless they do dry out inside. So we'll get one in that. Or I don't know if you know the Reynolds. They live out on the Reynolds Road, and they have quite a big family, and they own a lot of.
It might be Doug Reynolds. I don't know.
Yeah, same family. Well, one of the younger ones has in junior high, and they're making wreaths this year and selling them. So Jack has ordered 2 wreaths, and then he asked Peter if maybe they might have a big tree on their property, because we do have a huge tree. It fills the whole front, 3 front windows.
Really?
Yeah, right. It fits right in the front. We have a bay window, and it fits right in. So we'll see if we can get one there this week. If not, we'll have to.
She wanted to come home Saturday, didn't she?
Yeah, she's coming. I think Cindy's coming down Saturday. She's coming down Saturday. And then, we play at Old Town. Winslow plays at Old Town Saturday night. So we'll be going back up.
Oh.
We'll go up to the game.
Gee, that sounds fun.
Yeah. We'll
maybe
be.
I'll stay up. I don't know. I haven't decided.
The Old Town game ought to be a good game.
Yeah.
They beat Bangor last night.
I haven't decided.
Yeah.
Right. My boss wants me to work Friday and Saturday night. I haven't decided.
You're right. Are you on the shoe department over
here?
Yeah.
I haven't started. He wants me for the Christmas. I think I'll call him and talk to him. I kind of want to stay up there, you know, because I'll be all done. I don't know.
You're lucky. Jane says you don't have finals.
No.
That's great, isn't it?
Lucky.
Yeah.
I guess we can end this interview. This is the end of the interview of December 11th, 1977. My name's Connie Allen. Thank you.